Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are.
On our lovely, lovely planet, I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. The name of the show is Being Here. And
this particular episode is about your I have to do list.
Well, what I'd like to talk about.
What's on your I have to do list?
Nothing? I don't have to, but I'd like to talk about listening.
Okay, let's.
Because it is one of those things that most of us think we do, but we usually think rather than listen.
Okay, are you listening going, oh yeah, Shia always talks about listening at the beginning of a show.
Right.
You may, because your minds are really fast and in a nanosecond between our words, you can fill in with whole conversations. But what we're talking about is slowing down and listening.
And I'm not talking, because you said it all.
There you go. Listening.
Listening is not seeing whether you agree. Listening is not whether or not you already know it. Listening is allowing yourself to hear what's being said, but at the same time, allowing that mechanism that judges everything to quiet down so that you can actually hear what another person has to say, whether or not you agree with it, just to hear it.
Because our approach is transformational, as in when you hear something or see something without judging it, it can complete itself in an instant.
And in that instant, you're in current time. Your life can shift. Transformation happens when you get into current time, not into some idea of an ideal future. Most of us are striving to get to what we think is a better us, rather than realizing that you can only be who you are in this moment exactly as you are. So rather than fault yourself for being you, you can celebrate being you. And if you've got a chore to do, like the dishes, maybe you can do it as though it's your idea in the first place and have fun. You know, fun. Easy.
You know, I said earlier that our approach is transformational. It's also anthropological, as in an anthropologist studies cultures to see how they're put together. And part of that is looking at it without judging what you see. We recommend that you take an anthropological approach today to your to-do list, to listening to this show, and to your life in general. Because one of the things that we notice is from time to time, we add the I have to before whatever it is we have to do. And
Before the I have to do.
Yes, before I have to do. As in, we may be having dinner on a Monday evening before heading off to lead a Monday night alive in New York City. And it's not unusual to say something such as, do you think you could bring me the check? I have to go to work now, in order to spur the person to work or bring it to us in a timely manner. So I have to go to work is common vernacular. So we're not talking about you now eradicating.
We're saying it the right way. We're talking about discovering how to actually have your life be your life rather than something that you have to do.
Excellent. I think I know we have callers waiting, but I'd love to speak about the three principles of instantaneous transformation first.
Okay.
Because when you feel like you have to do something, you resist doing it, it takes longer. It dominates your life. Because anything you resist persists and takes a long time. So if there's something on your plate on your desk in your day that you think, oh, I have to do that, chances are it's not something that you will be attending to either in a timely manner, or if you do, it's going to take you a whole lot longer than it would if you just did it as if it were your idea.
If every time you think about it and then put it back on the back burner, you will take a lot of time thinking about it, and it take a lot less time if you just did it and had fun with it. Again, said that word again.
Fun. Second principle, you can only be exactly as you are. So we are not suggesting now that you look and see how to be a better you. We're talking about noticing, third principle, how you're being without judging what you see. And if I skip back to the second again, you can only be treating your projects as have-tos when you are, and be fully engaged when you are. You can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. So it really is about seeing how you are without judging what you see.
Well, how about we see what our first caller has to say?
I love that. Let's take her. Wendy, where are you calling in from today?
Hi, I'm calling in from Manhattan.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was really excited about this topic of your to-do list, partly because I feel like I have a running to-do list in my head at a lot. I work at a bank that's very busy, and so tend to work a little later, and then when I get home, I have things that I want to accomplish. But there's also things that I, you know, cooking and cleaning or keeping up with different things. But I find that I guess I'm struggling with, because I feel like I have goals of things that I want to accomplish, as far as, like, one of my things on my list is to put together my portfolio. And I just find that I feel like maybe it's more of a time management problem. But to come home at a certain time and then have, that I have to do the dishes or cook. Sure.
Yeah, look, you said something earlier about keeping a to-do list in your head. So the first thing is, I would like to suggest that you take your to-do list out of your head. Write your to-do list down, whatever it happens to be. Because if you have it in your head, you're going to keep referencing it, and that will eat up a lot of your day.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And the second thing is something Shia said in a recent radio show that has really stuck with me. He said to whoever the caller was, and I can't even recall who the caller was, he said, I tend to do the things I want to do and not do those things I don't want to do. So I don't see getting your portfolio together as a time management, quote, problem.
No, it's not an a priority for you. Or otherwise, you'd do it. But the other thing is this. You said you come home and you have dishes to do. Well, why didn't you do the dishes before you left?
Or are you talking about once you make dinner, you have dishes to do?
Both.
You see, so everything that you resist doing eats your life. Anything that needs to be done, you can do. But here's the thing. We think we have a limited number of problems, and that if we run out of problems, we die.
Yeah.
So if you did everything on your to-do list, well, what would keep you living?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I have a visual to-do list, meaning Sean and I travel a lot, so we'll go one place, we'll come back, we'll have worked in the city, or we'll have worked in the Bronx, or we'll have worked in Hamburg, or we'll go on a fishing adventure or visit family. And when we come back, there are things to put away. There's the day-to-day life that happens. There's this phenomena called entropy. So our house can get, and our office can get, just absolutely clean, and then without being attentive to it, things devolve into disorder. And then mm-hmm. when I walk by, I have the idea, oh, I should do that. Oh, I got to do that. And I played a game with myself today. I gave myself a time period to complete some of the things that we've been moving forward so quickly with that we had left certain things not put away from a trip or items undone. So I was playing the see it, do it game. So if I came across it visually, I did it. In that time, it was amazing how much I accomplished in a very, very short period of time when I actually did what I saw to do rather than talk to myself about, oh, I got to do that.
Yeah. So I thought,
Here's another thing for you, Wendy.
Yeah.
If you find doing your portfolio confronting because it's creative in nature, or once you, or if you've said to yourself, once I get my portfolio done, I'm going to go out and look for another job, or you have some sort of something you're going to be doing with that portfolio, and if for some reason that creative thing is confronting, you will have dishes and dinner take a long time. That's not a problem. It's a solution.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that really rings true.
Go ahead.
Well, it's true. It's like once I get the portfolio together, then I could look for other jobs. And I mean, that's the plan, is to be ready to have that up to date.
Well, I wonder when you say that, Wendy. See, I think that you're stuck in a this isn't it mindset, especially regarding work, because if work, and I know you're a creative director at a large bank and a vice president at that bank, and it would seem to me, although I'm sure that my information is limited, that there is a great opportunity for upward mobility as far as jobs at your bank for someone like you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yet the idea of creating a portfolio to find a new job seems odd.
Well, it's not really odd if you take a look at your, if you go swimming in a lake and you come out, your skin is going to smell like lake water. And if you're in the ocean, you're going to smell like ocean water. You swim in a corporate ocean of this isn't it, and the next bigger job someplace else would be better than this job. And you may even swim in that particular ocean at home if your husband is looking for upward mobility too. So it may be that you're pressuring yourself to do something you have no interest in doing.
But it seems like the next step, you know, people date, they go steady, they get engaged, they get married, etc.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It seems like the next step is to find a better job.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I yes, my husband is looking for a new job. And I also think here at my company, there's a lot of change in management. So I think there is a lot of that around me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to get sucked into that.
Yeah.
You know, if you work on your portfolio because you have a passion to work on your portfolio, so you have a visual representation of some of the things you've done.
That's one thing.
But if you're doing it so that you're ready for when you get fired or when I'll tell you, you can pull that portfolio together very quickly if you actually had a need for it.
Yeah, I know that's...
And think about this, Wendy. All the time you'd have to be with your husband if you weren't thinking you ought to be doing your portfolio. and not doing it.
Yeah.
But thinking about it. And since no two things can occupy the same Wendy at the same time, you can either have intimacy with your husband or resist doing your portfolio. Choose one.
Wow.
You know, we're getting close to go to a break, but before we do, I just want to say regarding dishes, last night Shai and I were hanging out together, and we had made an agreement, which was really unusual for us, that, hey, we can just let the dishes go until morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked into the kitchen, I felt like it would be more fun for me to do the dishes, have that be all cleaned up, and then I would not be distracted from our evening together. So I had let him, or he was doing other things like watching a program on TV, and I did it. And it was more pleasant for me than sitting and watching that show. There's the possibility that some of the things you think you have to do, if you really let yourself, you may get a lot of pleasure from.
Yeah.
Like the break we're about to go to.
So thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. Wow.
You're
thank
so
you.
Welcome. Hey, so we'll be back. There's more to come, everybody. Come on back.
Don't miss being here.
You betcha.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. Our next New York City weekend workshop, or seminar as the case may be, is The Freedom to Breathe, Art of Being a Healer. It's December 1st through 3rd. It's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. No matter when you're listening to this, if you happen to be listening to this in the archives, and it is no longer November 8th, just check our website, TransformationMadeEasy.com, and see what is the next upcoming seminar we have, either in New York or in Hamburg or Cambridge or even Costa Rica. If you want to join us in Costa Rica, a weekend seminar with us is a prerequisite. We're heading into our Costa Rica 2018. We can make space for you if you'd like to come. Again, TransformationMadeEasy.com. Let's take our next caller, shall
okay.
we? Julie, you with us? Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx, New York.
All right, welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I had a really unusual day for me. I'm having an unusual day in that I was not feeling well today.
Mm.
And so I'm a high school principal in the Bronx, and today I was going to a conference for principals. In the morning I had the thought, like, oh, you know, I really don't feel that well.
Right.
But I was like, no, I'm still going to go. I'm going to, you know, I should still go to this. It's important. And it's just a conference. Like, you know, I don't really have to do anything except listen. And I did go, and I'm really glad that I went, because there were some really, you know, some really inspiring people talked. But actually, after a couple of hours, I realized, like, I really don't feel well, and I'm coughing, and, you know, I'm, like, coughing through half the presentations, and I'm probably going to get other people sick. So I actually left early, which to me feels so, like, oh, my God, I never do anything like that. And, yeah, I'm just left with, like, oh, you know, I never leave work early, and I just really don't give myself permission to, like, rest. And
Julie?
Yes?
Maybe it was appropriate that you left early. Maybe it's the really appropriate thing to do if you're ill so you don't get other people sick.
I have a real Zen question for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the I that doesn't approve of you leaving early?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who the I is. I mean,
well, we internalize ideas of what a good person is, what a good principal is, what a good working person is, what a responsible person is. And sometimes we go for a person's approval or disapproval. And you've actually talked with us because we consult you in your school. Like sometimes you'll have a lot of ninth graders, for instance, going for their teacher's approval. Did I do this right? And there's mm-hmm. often times where you'll have some students who will work really hard for disapproval. It gets them attention. And then inside, we also go for our own approval or disapproval, depending on how we're wired. But if you put all that aside, then there's being here and being appropriate to your life. And the conversation about whether or not you approve of that choice or that going home early is moot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it actually didn't even occur to me that it was just a voice, you know, saying that somehow it's wrong to leave early.
But you're right. That it was a voice that said to you, I'm feeling sickly?
That was actually me feeling sickly. Like, I could see physically that I was not doing well. And also, I was sitting next to all these other principals, and I was thinking, you know, what if I get all these people sick? Then they're going back and running their schools and feeling...
I think it's interesting that you have to find a justifier for... you're being ill, like needing to take care of yourself. Well, I better go because I don't want to get these people sick.
As opposed to, I'm sick, I need to go.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I had such a conversation about it, like in my head. Yeah, it's true. but I'm really glad that I left.
So are you home now or are you back at school?
I'm home.
Good.
Yeah, I just decided to go home. I emailed my secretary. I was like, you know, I'm leaving this conference early. I'm just going to go home and get better. So, yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it is.
It's funny. Some people have the, I have to go to work conversation. You have the, oh, I have to go home.
Yeah, it is.
As if that's
this morning,
on your part.
Pardon?
As if it's a failing on your part.
Yeah, I really felt like it was a failing. And I think one thing I kept thinking about, which is, it's really silly, but I kept thinking about how the other day I gave all of these attendance awards to my staff. So,
yes.
You know, we wanted to recognize people who have had good attendance and encourage that. So we gave awards to people who have had perfect attendance or, you know, very, very few absences. So I was thinking, like, I have to set an example for everyone. Like, I can't be absent. And I was also comparing myself because somebody I really admire is my assistant principal. She has not been absent for the 6 years that she's worked at the school. Like, she's never been absent. So I was thinking, like, you know, I can't do this. Like, I can't stay home, you know. Like, I don't know why, but I was just really thinking, like, I had to somehow, like, have perfect attendance if I'm going to lead this school.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're going to go to school tomorrow?
If I feel better, yeah.
Well, good. So does anybody know in the school that you didn't have perfect attendance today?
No, only my secretary.
And do they care? Well, you were at a conference somewhere, though.
Yeah.
So as far as the school is concerned, you were in attendance.
Right.
But I don't think you can compare. I mean, you can compare, but that leads to a lot of dissatisfaction. We have a friend, Katrin, in Germany, who now has a immune compromising type disease. And she's currently working her way through it. But the amount of time that she can actually be feeling well and productive is far more limited than you, but it's really important that she works within her body's framework in order to be appropriate. And your body's framework is different than your assistant principal's.
So Say that again, please.
I was just going to say that never occurred to me.
Yeah. Well, you spend more time picking on yourself and your thoughts that you're not doing it up to your standards. But I have a question. Mm-hmm. Where did you get those standards?
I don't know. I mean, I guess from everything I've grown up with.
That's right. You absorb them from the culture you grew up in. And the people that you knew who were grown-ups in that culture that gave you those standards, did they live up to those standards with consistency?
Not always, no.
Right.
No.
So here you are. You've been given this download of the right way to behave and the right way to be, and then you spend the better part of your life trying to live up to those rules and regulations of how you're supposed to comport yourself.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny sometimes when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there are some places where if you put your elbows on the table when you eat, it's a very bad form of manners.
Yeah.
There are other places, if you put your elbows on the table, nobody cares.
Yeah.
What's the real truth?
You know, again, it's an anthropological approach, Julie. When Shia and I built our conference center in Bali, Indonesia, one of the normal terms there was Bali time. Oh, they're on Bali time. Because they may say, I'll have it for you tomorrow. But that wasn't like a contract as we know it, here with this culture, this work ethic, this idea. It was much more fluid there so that if things took longer than expected, that was to be expected. So somehow, some of the pressures you're feeling are from internalized standards from the culture that you grew up in.
And the culture that you're part of today, i.e. the system of education and the pressures that are put on the participants in that system to adhere to the rules.
You know, and clearly yesterday, when we spoke to you last, we were looking at a lot of things in regards to attendance in your school. So, you know, you have attendance highlighted in the forefront of your mind, but then you have to look at appropriate.
And then, you know, if you look 10 years from now, what will be the problem if you missed a day of school?
Yeah, even like a week from now. Like, that's not even.
Yeah, I was just trying to create enough of a schism so that it would seem foolish to be worrying about it.
Yeah,
right. I have a question. Which is going to be worse for your health? Allowing yourself to rest when you rest or worrying about the rest that you're taking?
Oh, allowing myself to rest.
Is going to be
worse. You said worse or better? Oh, you said worse. Worrying about it. Sorry.
That's all right. It was a confusing question.
But you have the right answer.
Hey, so thanks for calling in today. You already sound better because you didn't cough at all through this whole thing.
That's
really.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel better.
Well, good.
Good.
All right. So enjoy the rest of your restful day. And we'll see you soon.
We'll speak to our next caller. Annie.
Annie, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Excellent. I know we don't have a lot of time left in this particular segment, but let's get started. What
can we do for you?
I have to say that I am a to-do list addict and try not to be. And I used to think that to-do lists and have-tos will help me stay in control of my day, my life, to stay productive and efficient. But then I come to realize that it's actually dominating my life, and it's making me very stressful because the checklist and the to-do list, they tend to get useless because I forget that I have a checklist.
So can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
So you say your to-do lists dominate your life, and I ask you then, well, who wrote the to-do list?
I did, and I do.
I love that, actually.
So your idea of how you're supposed to go through your day is now dominating how you go through your day.
Correct.
That's pretty funny. You're the one who wrote the list.
I know, but I don't know how to manage that after I put the list on my whiteboard.
All right, so we have some good ideas on how to manage that, but we should probably do that in the next segment. Can you come back after the break?
Sure, I'll stay here.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly, everyone, so come on back. And don't miss being here.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
This moment is precious. And being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. Just a reminder for those of you who are planning to come to our courses in Hamburg in the spring that the early registration discount is coming up soon. It's a little more than, it's about a month away, so you'll want to get at least your deposit in before the 12th of December if you'd like to join us for the Freedom to Breathe and or the Step Up, Jump In, Let's Go weekend. That is happening in March, starting on the 22nd of March. And don't know where you're listening from today.
But if you're listening from New York, that area, New York tri-state area, our next Monday Night Alive is November 13th. That's a Monday. And the next international call is November 14th, which is a Tuesday.
And we appreciate you, wherever you're listening from. And today's shout out are for Chicago Ridge, Illinois.
And Munich, Germany.
Westminster, Colorado.
Dublin, Ireland.
Paris, Texas. Lausanne, Switzerland.
Asbury, New Jersey, and Hong Kong.
So wherever you're listening from, thanks for being a part of our listening family. All right, so we're going to go back to Annie. And her addiction to her to-do list.
Yes.
So yeah. You say you have the to-do list, and it's been...
dictating your life.
Yes.
Well, it's very funny. One of the things that Shia and I have discovered is this phenomena called don't tell me what to do. It's something that most of us develop really early on. We don't like our parents to tell us what to do. But usually we don't grow out of it or it goes into the background. So sometimes you say, oh, man, I got to brush my teeth. And then you say, no, don't want to do it. Yeah. So
by the laugh, it sounds as though Ariel hit a bullseye.
You know, and sometimes people make to-do lists of all the things that they're not planning to do. You know, they make the to-do list so that in lieu of doing those things.
But then they become useless, like it happens to me all the time.
Then they become useless? Well,
maybe it's useful, because if you're busy thinking about everything you need to do, then you can say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't go out tonight. I have things that I have to do, which you then resist doing.
Correct.
Or if you have a story about yourself as not being very capable, then having all of these incompletions are actually very useful.
Because it confirms to you that you're not very capable.
You know, one of the things that makes a to-do list, an actual written to-do list, ineffective is when you bury in the to-do list certain items. One are things that you're not intending to do, in which case you want to pad that with a lot of extra stuff. And the second thing is wish list items. So sometimes, you know, if I have on my to-do list, buy my airline ticket or confirm with the hotel in Costa Rica when we're arriving for our course, those are things that I'll put on a list so I don't forget to do them. But that's very different than putting on a list, lose 5 pounds.
Got it.
In those type of list things.
I have a great idea. If you're going to have a to-do list, only put things on the to-do list that you're going to do.
Okay, that sounds good.
As opposed to all those other things that you put on that you would like to do or want to do.
Correct. And if I may, I'm trying to reinvent how I do life. I mean, I've been going to your seminars and going to the meetups to learn how to live the moment and how to have a transformation. And I started thinking about this list, and I said, you know what? There are things that we have to do, yes. And sometimes we overcommit ourselves, and that's when you start getting stressful, stressed out because you don't get to do them. So I got a notebook, and I just started writing things down, but with the thought process that they need to be done, but it's not a must that I have to do. Things that need to be done, so I don't forget, because you have to have a functional life and you have to do things, right? So I don't know if that's a good approach. I have my notebook. I don't see it in my whiteboard. I don't use the whiteboard anymore. This is just 2 days ago. And because this call made me think about those things, and I thank you for that, because I never thought of it this way.
So you scaled down from a whiteboard to a notebook?
Yes, that I don't see every minute I pass by my kitchen.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I have a little game for you, Annie.
Okay.
See what's on your to-do list that you could do right away. And do that. And then see what else is on your to-do list that you could do right away. And do that. And see how long your to-do list lasts.
Okay.
Okay, just a little game.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I think and then looking at it from that perspective, looking at, you know, fun, not a, because like you said, I resist my own checklist because I wrote it down, I resist them. So I need to make sure.
Yeah, you don't want to be told what to do even by yourself.
I need to create a workflow that is more fun and enjoyable. And
well,
at the same time,
yes and no, because
no.
You can't create a workflow that's more enjoyable. It really is about how you approach any system.
Well, it's how you approach any task. If you approach the task as though it's your idea and you want to do it, well, then it's a lot easier than if you think that you have to do it because somebody, even you, said you have to do it.
I mean, none of those things that I did today had to get done. They were all things I could have waited another day or another 10 days or another 2 weeks. But I was ready to do them. So I did them. I did them all as though they were my idea. And I really enjoyed throwing out stuff in the freezer that had been there for too long. You know, and I can open the freezer whilst in the midst of making a meal and taking an item out of there and go, oh, I've got to clean this out. Well, today I just attended to it, and it was fun. And it's interesting if you can let go of the things you're not going to do, which is what I was talking to you about, and really just do the things you're doing and don't do the things you're not.
Okay. I would put that in practice, and I thank you for that suggestion.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling today.
Yes.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Let's take
Joe.
Joe, Mr. Joe, where are you?
I'm calling you from Westbury, New York.
Welcome and back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back. This is an awesome topic. Just listening to everybody, it's like everybody I can relate to. And, I'm self-employed. I am a yoga teacher and I'm an auto mechanic. And I'm really passionate about my jobs, but I also find that I do the thing where I take on jobs and then I complain in my head about having to do them. For instance, I'm working on my wife Lenore's car that needed some interior work on her air conditioning that turned out to be more complicated, more involved than I anticipated. And so I've been avoiding it. And the car is sitting in the shop, and I'm constantly doing all the other jobs that come in when I am in my head, I'm still working on her car.
Well, let me ask. Well, actually, I want to make a statement that I have no proof to substantiate. But are you fighting with Lenore?
No, we're doing really well.
Well, would she like her car?
Yes, she would.
And is it getting done as something that's a priority?
No, it's not. I mean, she has a car.
Well, I go back to my first question, then. Are you fighting with Lenore?
Well, I didn't think so, but I see what you're saying.
Well, because, aside from if...
Well, one other thing. If she were a paying customer and you weren't married to her, would you have moved through the lethargy and resistance and fixed the air conditioning?
Yes.
How simple.
Yes, absolutely.
you did much easier, more eloquently than that was the tack that where I was headed to. But I also see that, Joe, is that Lenore is a subset of you. And
right.
You're basically treating her and her car the way you treat yourself.
Uh-huh.
When I was living on a farm in Virginia 40 years ago or more, the farmers there would eat the ugly, bruised strawberries, and the beautiful ones would go to market.
Yeah.
Well, somehow they treated themselves to the second best, like they didn't deserve the best. And somehow you're treating yourself that way.
I mean, that being said, if you guys have other vehicles, she's not in need of her vehicle right now. It's a different thing than if she's in need of it and you keep pushing it to the back of the line.
Right. Yes, yeah, she has a car to use, a perfectly good car to use. And that's part of what I've allowed, I guess, you know, I've allowed myself to slack off because I know she has a car. But nevertheless, you know, I want to get this job done.
It's interesting that you call it slack off. You may be actually slacking off. It may be that your paying customers, getting them in and out the door, took priority. But it's interesting that you're not doing her car presently, but that you are using up space and time talking to yourself
that you should be doing her car.
And that's what we were saying to Andy about do what you do and don't do what you don't do. And if you're not doing her car, you may want to have a conversation with her and say, look, is this a problem? I'm putting it aside until X. But you're keeping it active in your thoughts is a interesting choice.
Well,
yes.
Not only are you keeping it active in your thoughts, you're beating on yourself for not doing it.
Which seems to be a theme here today.
You know, something very interesting happened today, Joe. The trap under the kitchen sink in my house let go, and our assistant was down in the basement and saw water running down through the floor.
Oh, my God.
And suddenly, this kitchen trap in the plumbing became an A-plus priority. And so I stopped what I was doing immediately and just fixed it. There was no, cool. Do I want to or not in it. And yet, while I was doing it, there were some difficult moments where the pipes didn't want to come together properly. And I hurt my back yesterday. And so that was out, and I was bent underneath the kitchen sink. And it was all I could complain or I could do the job and get it done.
Cool.
You know, the immediacy of it pushed me to getting it all done well, and at the same time, not procrastinating, not putting it off, not saying no to what I needed to do. I dare say you'd have a lot more time in your life if you just did what you had to do rather than ask yourself whether you want to or not.
True. Absolutely.
You'd also have more sustained satisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there something. There's another piece to this, Joe. You know, when you resist something, it takes energy. It saps your energy. So those things that you resist not only eat up the time, but then you don't have much energy left at the end of not doing what you said you were going to do.
You know, who knew that working on air conditioning system in a car could be a romantic gesture?
Yeah, yes. I could get points for this.
Yes, you could.
I like that.
Yeah. Anything that motivates works for me.
There
hey, thanks
you go.
For calling
right.
in today.
Yeah, and then you'll have
oh,
more
thank
energy
you.
For romance because you won't have blasted it all off and resisting doing what you were going to do anyway.
Right on. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling and being a part of the show.
Oh, great. It's great to hear you guys. It's great to speak with you. And just sitting here for, you know, the time listening to everybody, I've so enjoyed it. It's really great.
Excellent. Okay. Well,
we're done for today, but we will be back next week. Next week's show
is I Don't Wanna. Why Should I?
Yeah, so
sounds like it's right on track with Joe.
We'll be back next week, so come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.